Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. Welcome to the Windows 8 UX Jumpstart. My name's Chris Mayo.
I'm Brandi Porter.
And this Jumpstart is all about designing Windows 8 apps, and in particular, how to create a UX design that not only gets you into the store on the first try, meeting all the different requirements of your app, so it's a great Windows Store app, but also to help your app design bring forward not only what's unique and beautiful and compelling about your app, but also make it part of the Windows 8 experience. So participating in the contracts like search and share, having a great experience for the start screen like live tiles, layout, design, commanding, we're gonna cover all of it.
Yep, how to design beautifully for the platform.
Exactly, and this is a jumpstart. So what we mean by that is you can have no experience with Windows 8 design, maybe not even ever seen Windows 8, and during the course of the next couple of days, we're going to build from the very basic building blocks of the UX guidelines, the design principles, and build on top of that to the point where you would be able to know how to design an app from start to finish.
Exactly.
Perfect. So again, my name is Chris Mayo. I'm a senior UX evangelist for Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft for, 13 years now. I just realized that the other day, and it's like, yeah, time flies when you're having fun, right?
It does.
And what I do is I focus on Windows 8 right now from the UX perspective. I'm kind of one of those strange, not that I'm personally strange, but I'm that strange mix of both design and development. So depending on what team I'm on, I'm either writing code or doing design or both. And lately I've been focusing, like I said, on Windows 8 and helping either individual companies, so partners and key customers that we're working with, design their first Windows 8 app. And then also working on things like the Jumpstart. So creating content and speaking around the world to help folks understand, what is Windows 8 and what is a great Windows 8 design. So again, I speak at conferences like Build and TechEd and this design camps that you and I have been working on, as well as being an author for MS Press and MSDN Magazine. You can reach me via Twitter at chrisdmayo.com or chrisdmayo, and then my blog is blogs.msdn.com/cmayo.
And I am Brandi Porter. I am the Director of Design at Big Nerd Ranch. We are known for our intensive developer training courses. We write books on different coding languages, and we also do consulting work. We've built apps, beautiful apps, for some of the top 100 companies in the world. We have offices across the globe, and we train across the globe as well. And I have been working with Chris, my team and I have been working with Chris to put together some really amazing pieces for this jumpstart. We've been working on an app together. We've been working on getting the materials ready for the world, and then pretty soon we're going to be moving forth into the world and delivering the Jumpstart. And so it's going to be a really great thing. And my team specifically focuses on UX, usability, and so that's design from the consulting side, but also we run mobile training courses as well. And so we run the gamut. Yeah. So we're really excited to be here and to be a part of this Jumpstart.
Awesome. So let's talk about our agenda over the course of the next 2 days. So we said in this Jumpstart, we're going to start from the very beginning, and we're just going to build on that. So the first session we're going to do is just about the principles of Microsoft design. Talk about the Microsoft design language, how it's implemented in Windows 8, go from the principles of a great design for a Windows 8 app, the UX guidelines, and just kind of give you kind of an idea of the surface area. What are the things that I need to think about when I'm designing an app for Windows 8? From there, at 10 o'clock, we'll talk about less is more. So how do we create a focused app concept so you can have an app that's a mobile app that's very focused on what it's great at?
Yep.
From there, we'll talk about navigation. So how do you create an app that has seamless navigation, that's very intuitive, kind of gives people a feeling of freedom to explore so they can yep. enjoy the different content and features and user scenarios within your app? From there,
And then I'll talk about layout after that, which is one of my favorite topics. That goes into the Windows 8 grid, the Windows 8 silhouette, typography, and really letting your brand shine through, finding ways with the guidelines in order to make your app truly differentiated.
Right. And then at 12:30, we'll take a meal break, and that might be breakfast, or probably not breakfast. Well, depending on where you are.
Depending on where you are.
Yeah, it might be breakfast for some folks, might be lunch for other folks, might be dinner, maybe a late night snack, depending on
exactly.
where you are. From there, we'll talk about UI elements. So what are the different commanding surfaces? What are the different controls that are built into Windows 8 so you can design for knowing either the control is built in or something you need to do custom and so on? And then finally, we'll wrap up with Snap and Scale.
Yep, and that talks about one of the special features of Windows 8, being able to multitask, move your app into a snapped state. And also, it goes into detail about how Windows 8 considers the size of the monitor, the resolution of the screen that your app is displaying on, and it takes care of all of those things for you so that your app is beautiful in whatever state that it's in.
Right, regardless of whether it's, you know, like a large format monitor like this or a laptop
a Surface tablet.
Or a Surface.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have the start times for each of the sessions here. For the day, and we actually have a 10-minute break after each session, so they'll give you a chance to go grab a cup of coffee or a snack or whatever it might be. Okay, so here's our day 2 agenda. We'll start off the day tomorrow talking about charms, contracts, and extensions. So how do you integrate features of your app into the Windows 8 experience, like search and share and settings? From there, we'll talk about tiles and notifications.
And that will cover your app's experience from the start screen of Windows 8. It'll go into detail about why having a live tile might be very important for your app and how that can really bring your user into an engagement with your app right on the start screen. And it'll also go into notifications, how to push out notifications, when it's appropriate to push out notifications, and all of the special built-in tools that Windows 8 already provides for that sort of scenario.
Perfect. From there, we'll talk about touch, so how to create a great touch experience.
Exactly. That's one of the great things about Windows 8 is that it was really built for touch first.
Right.
And that goes into, I have a laptop in front of me that's a touch screen, and I'm in love with it. It's amazing. It's really a revolutionary switch to be able to touch your screen and interact with apps in that really great touch way. But also, it goes into covering how you make an app that works really well with a keyboard and with a mouse. And so there are power users that use keystrokes and mice exclusively. And so we really have, or Windows 8 has taken into consideration all of those different users. Yeah. After that, we're also going to talk about animation. That's another key part of the Windows 8 experience. One thing that has been really carefully considered with the Windows 8 environment is that animation really can help guide users to know where to look, to understand that actions that they have attempted to start are actually working. And it really helps to guide just a more peaceful experience through the experience, and it makes you more confident with what you're using.
Yeah, it's not only motion and life to your app, but it also communicates, which is great. And again, we're going to have a meal break there at noon, our local time, Pacific Standard. From there, we'll talk about accessibility, so how to create an app that can be enjoyed by all users. Via accessibility features that are in Windows 8.
Yep, they're already built in. Windows 8 has considered a lot of these tools, and that's something that I think could possibly be missing in the app space, is just a good accessible experience.
Right.
There are so many users across the globe that both need accessible tools to experience apps, but also a lot of users that enjoy taking advantage of those features. Yep. Windows 8 has made it really easy to do that as well.
Perfect. For there, we'll talk about globalization. It's easier than ever with the Windows Store to sell your apps across the world. So we'll talk about creating a globalized, localized application, and again, some of the features that are built into Windows 8 that you leverage in order to do that. And then we'll wrap up with a discussion around the Windows Store. So what do you need to do to get your app into the Windows Store? What's the submission process? What are the requirements? Talk about monetization. How am I going to create an app that's going to be successful? Am I going to do trials? Am I going to do advertising and so on?
Yep.
And then we'll wrap up, talking about, looking at your app in the Windows Store and getting, telemetry and data to help you, create new features or tune your app and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's our agenda for the next 2 days. So who is this Jumpstart for? Well, at the highest level, this is a Jumpstart for designers. So if you have a design background, you're absolutely in the right place. I'm a designer / developer. So if you're a developer, there's some value in sticking around. You want to understand the design principles as a developer, so you know all the different features that you want to have in your app and how to integrate the work that you're doing within your app into some of these different Windows experiences. So definitely stick around if you are a developer. There's going to be some great information that's going to be valuable to you that you'll be able to use either in the creation of your app or working with a design team and so on. But if you have UX or visual or interaction design background, you're going to feel right at home. If you have experience designing for Windows Phone, iOS, Android, or the web, you have all the skills that you need. And And this is a jump start, so you don't expressively need experience with Windows 8. We'll walk you through Windows 8 and make you an expert just in the first few demos.
Yep.
And then you can build on top of that.
Exactly. And one of the valuable things for me being a designer is that I've really been immersed in the developer side of things. Windows 8 has provided, or Microsoft has provided, several templates for all several different kinds of views. They provided PSDs, they provided HTML templates, XAML templates, and so you really get to visit how integrated Windows 8 is into everything, including design, development, UX. They've really considered a lot of things. And so being a designer, I've learned a lot about what comes free for developers in Windows 8 and what I can work with a developer on to make sure that it's implemented the way that I envision it. And so it's been a really great experience for that side too. So.
Yeah, that's always a really important conversation, that kind of conversation between design and development, and making sure that, you know, development understands what the design team is trying to accomplish, and the design team understands what's possible from the development perspective, and just that give and take, or that conversation.
Yep.
So this Jumpstart is part of the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So if you're not familiar with MVA, it's a free online learning tool with over 1 million registered users. So it always has up-to-date, pertinent, relevant training for developers, IT pros, and so on. And it's, you know, kind of tagline is earn while you learn. So you earn points for each class that you take, each video, each, you know, online questionnaire, quiz, or exam, and so on. So if you go up to aka.ms/MVA-voucher and enter Win8UX between now and May 25th, 2013, you can get 50 points for attending this Jumpstart. Okay. So this is a Jumpstart. This gets us kind of started in Windows 8 design. Where do we go from here? Well, the next logical course is to actually start designing an app, right?
Exactly.
And a great way to do that is via a design camp. So these two-day workshops that, Brandy and I have been working on lately are workshops, which means you're actually going to be working in them to do your first design. So where this Jumpstart is, you know, really valuable to kind of get some exposure to some of the concepts and kind of get an idea of the surface area, you can come to a workshop and actually work with folks like Brandy and myself and do your first design. So we talk about a topic, we discuss it, we have lab time, we actually work through a design from start to finish. And our idea behind these design camps is for designers by designers. So there's always great mentors and always great folks leading this that you can ask questions and review your design and so on. So if you'd like to learn more about this, go to httpdesigncamps.ms. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started.
Sounds good.
In this first session, really what we're talking about are the principles of designing a Windows 8 app. Really understanding, you know, what was the Windows UX team thinking when they created the start screen and when they created the UX guidelines. So you can kind of understand, you know, where these things are coming from and kind of the genesis behind some of the ideas. So when you go to design your app, you can not only, you know, do something that's unique and compelling in your app, but also fit into some of these unique experiences that are part of Windows 8 and create, you know, an integrated experience with Windows 8 that's again, unique and beautiful and meets the goals of your app.
Yep, and the Windows 8 design philosophy really has some great evolutionary stories behind it.
Yeah,
and
so. So first, let's talk about the Microsoft Design Language. And the Microsoft Design Language is essentially the common set of design guidelines, or the way we communicate design within Microsoft. And when you think about Microsoft as a design-centric company, this is the design language that we use across all of our brands and all of our products to make, you know, Microsoft products feel like Microsoft, have a common feel to them and a common look to them. And each one is great from its own perspective. Like Windows Phone is a great phone, and Xbox is a great entertainment device, and Windows 8 is a great operating system for tablets and laptops and PCs. But there is some commonality there that's really interesting. So Brandy and I were talking about this the other day, and we were actually talking about the Microsoft Design Language, and where did it really get its start? And it's kind of interesting. This is something that we've been working on for quite some time. Here's an example. This is Windows Media Center, and this is from 2004. And I actually found some genesis or some early work on a common design language and some of these elements as far back as 1999. But we have a limited amount of time, so I thought I'd go back to 2004, right?
Start somewhere.
Yeah, so this is the start screen for Windows Media Center, which was a component of early versions of Windows for, you know, the living room.
Yep.
Right? So you can see some really interesting things here, like the fact that this is full screen and Chromeless, and we're using really, really clear typography, as well as, you know, some vertical and horizontal panning to communicate content and navigate through content. Here's another screen within that Windows Media Center where, again, we're grouping and navigating via very clear type, and you navigate, you know, via your remote here. But you can see that the content that we're using, or we're actually structuring the pages via just the content itself, like here, it's album art.
Yeah, it's very visually driven.
Yeah, exactly. Here's some great examples of Portable Media Center, which was a media device OS that we created back to be a partner with the Media Center itself in Windows, working through the different Zune devices that we created. So you can see here from Zune 1, really, really clear type, full bleed images, so kind of using both typography to communicate different areas that you can navigate in the app here with the touchpad there, but also providing emotion via these beautiful photos like the little superhero there. Zune 2, even more emphasis on type as a navigation method, using different fonts and ways to communicate, you know, what the current item is that you're navigating to and then being able to select it. Zune HD with touch, again, very, very clear type. Using the content as the structure of the pages. Here we started working with some really interesting things around touch targets and touch size for a touch device, that leading into Windows Phone 7. And even in Windows Phone 7 and then through Windows Phone 8, you can see a lot of interesting elements here, like Live Tiles. That was the first product that we released with Live Tiles, where rather than just being icons, they actually communicate, you know, state
and information. Your personal side,
yeah, the personal side. Of the apps. In this middle screenshot here, you can see using typography and different weights and sizes of fonts to communicate a structure to data, which was really interesting. You'll see that a lot in the Windows products that reflect the design language.
Yep. And I think it's fair to say here, too, that some typography that we use a lot in Windows 8 had begun to form in these earlier versions of more of a clean direction.
Yeah.
And so it's really great to see that evolve and really stay strong throughout the design process.
Yeah, it's interesting that you see a lot of these elements being shared across the different UX teams within Microsoft. And again, this, you know, center of excellence around design where we're taking a lot of these common elements and applying them to different form factors and to different scenarios.
Yep.
So here's Windows Phone 8 where, again, you can not only see Live Tiles here, very clear type, but also the ability to do some customization of those tiles even more than just being able to move them around, you know, change their size and position. This is the Zune software, the first desktop app from Microsoft that was, again, Chromeless and fully immersive. And here you can see, you know, on the right white stripes page, I have this full lead image, kind of brings me into the band and kind of evokes the love that I have for the band, you know, my music. Again, the list down at the bottom there, that horizontal pan with the different album art there, actually providing, you know, the structure of the content via the content. Xbox, another great example from the last Xbox refresh. You can see very clear type across the front, horizontal pan via either, you know, the remote or Kinect or the controller.
Really strong grid.
Yeah, exactly. And that leads us to Windows 8 here, where you can see a lot of these elements, again, coming together. Live tiles, horizontal pan, very, very clear and beautiful type. All of these design language elements, you can see a commonality between different Microsoft products, even though each one is a unique and beautiful experience for that device. So here's a great screenshot where you're seeing, you know, Windows 8 on a slate, Windows 8 on a tablet, Windows Phone 8, and Xbox. And you can see this common family. And this design language is really compelling from a couple of different perspectives. One, for me as someone that's at Microsoft and is focused on UX, it is the design principles that we use to create our experiences and make those experiences, you know, familiar and comfortable and gives users confidence across all these different devices. It's like, I know this comes from Microsoft. I know how to use it. It's very, very familiar. But for a designer like yourself, or designers, you know, in the audience, for this jumpstart, it's also very valuable in the fact that when you design for phone and you design for Windows 8 and you design for Xbox, you're creating something that's beautiful and that reflects your brand.
Exactly.
But also has that same commonality. So folks can, you know, launch your app if they know Windows 8, and they're going to know how to use your app. And they can just focus on what your app is unique and great at.
Yep. They're going to be familiar with the system. They're going to be familiar with things like the Charms Bar, which we'll go into detail about. They're going to know where certain elements are supposed to be.
Right.
And so aligning your app with those great Windows 8 principles, like you said, creates a really confident experience for the user. And they feel like they already have used your app once they get into it.
Yeah, they can just focus on the greatness, right? Okay. And that design language is just a great example. It just brings us together. It not only brings us together with our users from Microsoft's perspective, but also from a designer's perspective, it brings people together with your app. It just reduces friction between them, you know, installing your app for the first time and falling in love with it.
Yep, and there's nothing more comforting for a consumer to be able to switch from platform to platform and from device to device and see familiarity.
Yeah,
and be able to jump right in.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that design language from the perspective of Windows 8. And like we had mentioned in the first couple of slides for the jumpstart, you know, we're not assuming that you know anything about Windows 8 at all. So I thought I'd do just a quick demo of Windows 8 just to kind of show some of the cool features and how Windows 8 works, some of the touch gestures and so on, just so you can get familiar with Windows 8, because we are going to be kind of deconstructing all of these different experiences during the course of this jumpstart so you know how to design for them. So kind of demystifying some of the magic, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to hit the Windows key on my machine, and it's going to take me right to the start screen. And this is my life in Windows 8, right? So I've installed the apps that matter to me, and I've arranged them according to how I lead my life and live my day. And you can see here on the start screen, it is fully immersive. So it is full screen. I can see here that some of these tiles on the side are obscured, which kind of invites me to, you know, notice that there's more content here. And I navigate the content just by horizontally panning, so just grabbing, you know, my finger and just dragging it across the screen, right? And if I want to launch any of these apps, it's just a simple tap. So I just tap on them, and here I am in the News app. And again, you can see that the News app is full screen and immersive. All Windows Store apps are. And if I want to navigate through them, I can just pan to see more content. And when I want to navigate into, say, a section of content, I can just tap on that top title, that section title, and go into, you know, an individual story, like on the Hubble telescope, right? And again, fully immersive, beautiful use of content, like this photograph of the Hubble telescope, beautiful reading experience, really great typography. And when I want to navigate around, it's really easy to just grab this back button. And that persistent back button and that easy navigation gives me confidence that I can explore the app, right? And if I want to go back to the start screen, I can either hit the start button or the Windows button on my machine, or I can use the edge. I can just grab that one pixel off the edge there and grab the Charms bar and hit the start button, which always takes me back to start, right? And I can, you know, go through and start launching, you know, different applications.
And everything looks really structured. It's organized. It has a rhythm.
Yeah.
It has some beautiful typographic hierarchies being created. I love this travel app. It's full of
beautiful
full-screen imagery of all of these wonderful places
that
I'll be able to go.
Well, you're going to be going with these design camps. You're going to be all over the world. So.
Exactly.
So another edge gesture that I can use, and again, these are things that you're going to become familiar with, you know, just in the unboxing of Windows 8, your first Windows 8 device, right? If I want to switch between apps, it's just so easy. I just drag from that left pixel there, right? And I can switch between the apps really, really easy. If I go back to the start screen, right? And here are all the apps. You know, I showed a bunch of the Bing apps like News and Sports and Travel and stuff like that. But let's say that there's, you know, another app that I'm looking for. Like my friends told me about this Cut the Rope app that I wanted to install. Well, I go into the Windows Store, and here I have a marketplace for all the different apps that I might want, you know, either centering around what I do at work or what I do for fun, like games and movies and TV and social, everything, right? So I can go through and, you know, browse through apps, find the apps that I'm looking for. I'm actually just going to grab the Charms bar here. Again, just drag that pixel and hit search. And I'm just going to start typing here. And I'm going to look for a game my friend told me about, Cut the Rope. And there's Cut the Rope. And when I want to install a new app like this game, I go in, I can search for it, people can share links with me, I can just browse through the store. And here you can see I can learn about the game, you know, read the description, you know, get details, look at reviews. And this is what your app's going to look like, you know, in the store. It's going to have a page here where people can get familiar with the app. And they can just click on the install button and install the app. There you can see there's a little pop-up there, a little notification to tell me the app's been installed. And really seamless install experience. So I can go ahead and just start playing the game. Yeah, it was incredibly fast. Right? Installing and uninstalling is just super, super easy.
And it's also an adorable game.
It is an incredibly adorable game, and it's incredibly addictive. And actually, in the interest of the jump start, I'll stop playing.
I was about to say, we have people that we are telling all about Windows 8. So.
Yeah, exactly. We were doing something, not just playing a game here. Right? So now I'm back on the start screen. And like I had said, that the start screen is customizable and stuff like that. So another touch gesture besides just, you know, panning and dragging. If I wanted to learn something about these tiles, I can just tap and hold on them. You can see there's a little checkbox behind it. And that teaches me that I can select these items. They're directly manipulable. So I can select a tile, and I get these commands down at the bottom. So rather than having commands, you know, littered all over the screen here, they can be contextual. So if I select an item, you can see here that I get this app bar down at the bottom, which gives me the opportunity to make the tile smaller or to make it larger. I can turn off the live tile if I'd like, right?
And that's turning off that rotating information that you see on that tile.
Yeah, and all these guys are directly manipulable, so if I just want to, you know, manipulate and move them around, I can.
I love that immediate visual feedback.
Yeah, yeah.
That you get on the start screen.
It's great communication, right? And if I wanted to, you know, see the entire start screen at once without having to pan back and forth, I can just do a semantic zoom here. That also gives me the ability to work with these items, you know, directly, so I can change the name of this to My Demos, right? And then zoom out, and then you can see that's the My Demos group. And yep. If I want to move these guys around, you can even, let me do that again. You can chain the gestures together, so I can put this guy over in My Games, right? And it's really easy to do. So super intuitive, super easy to do. There's also some neat and unique experiences here. If I go into the video app, let me go find... I was watching this documentary the other day that I thought was super awesome called Wings of Life. So let's look at Wings of Life. Let's play the trailer. Let's go full screen here. Let's say that I was, you know, watching this movie and remember that I had this email that I had to send to a friend of mine. Well, one of the things that we can do is we can go into the mail app and we can start composing a new mail. Right, I can start composing a new mail. And one of the things interesting here is I can just drag the other apps out here from the side and snap it. So I could be watching this movie while catching up on email, or, you know, following some folks on Twitter, retweeting, twittering back and forth, so on and so forth. And here I have this great snap experience where my app is still fully functional. Both of them are. I can still watch the movie. I can still do the email and do them, you know, simultaneously. So we all love to multitask. The snaps state is a great way to do that. And we'll talk about how to design that experience to work great and look great, regardless of whether you're full screen, filled like the video here,
yep,
or in the snap state.
And what I love about the snap state is that it's remembering where you are in the video. Nothing changes with your context moving from snap state to full state.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's do this. Let me go over to IE and show some of these Charms experiences. So I'm just going to go to MSN. And here you can see I'm in the touch version of IE10. So I'll go to the MSN homepage. And let's go to sports and... You can see it's touch enabled, which is awesome. I can flip through these images. I'll go to the QB class of 13. And let's say that I wanted to share this story. Again, we've got some experiences that are built into the Charms bar that we thought were so important that we built them directly into the operating system. So I'm doing an app-to-app share here where you know, the IE10 knows what page it's on and knows about the content and can package that up and send it as a share source to a share target app like the Mail app. And these apps are don't know anything about each other. It's an app ecosystem between them where both of them know about Windows. They implement this particular contract that we'll talk about and implement and design, like we'll be talking about later tomorrow, implement an experience that makes sense for the share source here, IE10, and the share target here for the Mail app. And I can just go ahead and just send that mail, put a message in here, pick a photo, and so on, and send that off. Okay? And same thing with search. If I wanted to grab here, and let's say that, I was planning, a trip to Milan and wanted to search about information about Milan, like in Wikipedia and so on, I could do that via the Bing app. Or if I knew that the travel app had information about travel, I could go ahead and grab that.
Towards the top.
Was it at the top? Did I scroll right by it? I sure did. Okay. And then I can do a destination search. And that was really interesting because I was doing a search in IE10, right? And it implemented the search or provided a search experience specific to IE10. But then I was able to grab the charms bar and apply that same search criteria to a different app, right? And it resulted in the launch of the app.
It's like they're all subscribed to the same language.
Yeah,
they all
speak one
language. They all speak multiple languages, but they have one language
in common. That common experience, right. So, awesome. So that's Windows 8. A lot of the different features of Windows 8. This is, you'll get familiar with this just in the first few minutes of using it. And that's great. But what we're talking about in this jumpstart is designing your first application. So actually what we've done is we've created an app. Brandy and I together designed an application called Contoso Cookbook for a fictional company, Contoso. And what we wanted to do was to create a cookbook app that was not just an app that had great recipes that were, compelling and incredibly tasty, mouth-watering like the steam bun baos, but we also wanted to create a social experience around cooking because that social or cooking is a social experience,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So here's what we did: is we created this app to provide not only recipes like steam bun baos, but also a social feed about what my friends are cooking, what they're reviewing, and so on.
Yep.
And what we're going to do is we're actually going to go through this app from start to finish and show you how we designed it and look at some of the design assets so you would be able to see, how would I go ahead and design my app, starting at, the concept for my app. What are the different things that I need to do as far as, creating a great app that looks great on all devices, participating in the contracts, live tiles, all that stuff.
And what are all the states that your app is going to appear in? Consider every screen state that people might be using your app in.
Yeah, so an app that's beautiful regardless of whether it's, snapped or filled or whatever. So let me get back to my presentation. Looks like, let me do this. There we go. Get back into the presentation and talk about some of these concepts. In specific, let's talk about the Windows 8 design principles. And again, these are the principles that we used to design not only the start experience and the start screen itself, but we also used to build the UF guidelines that you'll use when you're designing your own app.
Yep. So these are the tenets that you want to kind of follow as you're going through the development process.
Yeah, exactly. The UX guidelines are incredibly helpful for designing the UX of your app. But if you ever get to a point where you're trying to make a decision about a design element, you can fall back on these principles, and they'll generally guide you in the decisions that you need to make in your design. So the first principle is do more with less. And when we're talking about mobile applications and we're talking about touch applications, you really want to be great at something, and you really want to be super, super focused because, a desktop application where you have a mouse and a keyboard and you're sitting at a desk, can't have tons of features and tons of menus and toolbar buttons and stuff like that because you're sitting down and, you've got a very targeted pointing device and a keyboard and so on. But we're talking about a device you're going to be using walking down the hall at work or sitting on the couch and stuff like that. You want it to be super, super focused. So when we start designing Windows 8 apps, either when I'm designing an app that I'm creating or I'm working with another team, a design team, we really focus on creating a focused set of scenarios and a concept of, hey, what is this app going to be great at?
Yep.
And really using that that focus to kind of be a check and balance against the scenarios and the features we create. So it's never a question of how many features can we get into this application. It's more about how does this feature support a scenario that makes this great at statement happen. And we're going to talk about this during the less is more session.
Yeah, you want your app to be great at one thing, not kind of okay at many, many things.
Exactly, exactly. And then the next thing we talk about when we talk about doing more with less is content before Chrome. And really what that's about is taking the pixels that you have within your app and dedicating them to that great at statement. And if it's not a pixel that's dedicated to either content or a control around those scenarios, move it off to one of the edges.
Yep.
Put it on the charms bar, put it on the app bar, and really give people a focused experience within your app. And here's just a non-example or a non-example. So here's an RSS feeder for a desktop application. And if you look at this application, I actually, you know, kind of talk about this over and over again as we're talking about redesigning desktop applications or even web applications for Windows 8. If you look at this example, look at the screen real estate here and look at all of the screen real estate that's used for navigation amongst all the feeds, or the search bar and the search button and the settings button, the refresh button. All of these different widgets, like the feeds list box helping me navigate amongst the feeds, all of those different elements are essentially Chrome, UI widgets that are taking up screen real estate away from the focus scenario of this app. And this app is an RSS reader, so it's about reading news stories. And here you can see that only the bottom third of this page is dedicated to or providing pixels for actually reading the news stories. And that's really, really different from like the news app that you saw in the Windows 8 demo that I had just done.
Yeah, I think it's a traditional web design philosophy to get as much navigation and organization on screen as you can.
Right.
You want to make sure that users know exactly what, how they can access more and more content.
Right.
Even though their goal is to look at one article, you want them clicking into other articles. You want them exploring, so you sort of have to get those lists and organizations in front of them. That's kind of the web philosophy.
Right, right. And we'll talk about how to solve for that and make your app very discoverable and your scenarios very discoverable in the navigation section. But here, if you look at this app, if I just start kind of applying some of these principles of Windows 8 design and just remove a lot of the lines and boxes that are used for grouping, and maybe use typography to organize information, and then start using the structure, positive and negative space, to organize the content rather than using these list boxes and so on, and then use a grid to lay out the content to actually provide the structure of the app and organize it in different sections. You can see that this starts to look more like a Windows 8 app. And when we go through the layout session, we're actually going to be taking all of the principles of layout for a Windows 8 page to help you go from a UI that's, you know, littered with lots and lots of navigation elements and lots of buttons for settings and searching and so on, and really create a UI where the content shines and the content, whether it's, you know, consuming content like news stories or entering recipes or any of these things, that's what the pixels on the screen are dedicated to.
Yeah, and that example that you showed was so much more beautiful and elegant and approachable. It really makes you want to pan right so that you can get more and more content, so that you can see more and more beautiful pictures and see more and more headlines. So you're really encouraged to spend more time in that app than you would be in just a list of article names.
Yeah, it's more compelling. Yeah, absolutely. So Chrome distracts users. It takes away from that great at statement. It takes away from what your app is great at. So what we want to do is we want to create a content before Chrome experience in all of our Windows 8 apps. So we want to create a design that really lets that great at statement, your content, and your scenarios come to the forefront, where content is the heart of the experience. And if anything else distracts from that content or distracts from those scenarios, we're going to move it off to the edges. We're going to move it off to the charms bar. We're going to create a UI that's directly manipulable than having a lot of checkboxes and a lot of buttons and so on. And this really immerses people in the beauty of your content and your scenarios, which is what we want from a Windows Store app. So where does this content typically come from? Really, it typically comes from navigation, you know, getting around the app, layout, so structuring the content on the page, and then commanding an interaction with the content. So how do we do that in Windows 8? Well, navigation, we just make the content itself navigable. And we saw that within the news app, where yep. I would just tap on the news story to navigate to it, or I tap on the section to go to that section. So if you look at Contoso Cookbook, let me just go back to Contoso Cookbook. The navigation for Contoso Cookbook is just the content. If I want to go into the Chinese recipes, I just click on the header. If I want to go to Steam Bun Baos, I just click on the recipe itself. If I want to navigate back, I have this persistent back button, which makes me very comfortable, that I can always get back and invites me to explore. I just did a semantic zoom within the app, so if I want to navigate, you know, quickly to the Italian section, I can do that. If I want to jump around the app, I can easily do that just by grabbing that top app bar and going to a particular section.
Yep.
All right, and we'll talk about navigation patterns and how to design a navigation scheme for your app that not only reflects your scenarios and what your app is great at, but also feels like a Windows 8 app. So people will automatically just get started loving your app.
Yep.
So next is layout. So how do I structure the content such that there's visual clarity? My app has, you know, structure and rhythm. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to use the grid, same grid that you designed for, for the web. We're going to use typography. And if you, again, look at the Contoso Cookbook app, let me just go back to the home page. You'll note that we have, you know, a grid that we're using, separating different sections, separating items within a section, how we organize them, that gives the app, you know, a structure.
Yep.
We use the content for the structure rather than lines and boxes and so on. And you can see different font weights between, you know, the logo, the titles for the pages, the different sections like about and recipe, and then, you know, the actual font for, you know, the title of the recipe and then the description and so on. We have these different font weights that give us kind of this structure of the app. And those limited set of font weights, you know, sizes and weights gives us that structure and that rhythm rather than using, again, a lot of Chrome that's going to detract away from all of that content. And then the final area where we see a lot of Chrome is through interaction elements. And what we've done with Windows 8 and what you'll design within your app is we'll build the interaction into the content itself. So a great example of that is if I go back to the home screen in Contoso Cookbook, right? And if I wanted to mark a recipe as a favorite, right? I can just swipe to select it. And then you can see here I get the options down at the bottom, like I can pin it to the start screen, I can mark it as a favorite. Right, and this is really, really cool in the fact that rather than having, you know, buttons and checkboxes and all these different interaction elements, I'm just going to make the content itself an interaction element, and then provide these, you know, different UIs like the app bars and flyouts and stuff like that to make them manipulable on demand rather than having to look at it all the time.
And those gestures are the same that you would use on the start screen for the tiles.
Yeah,
same touch. So it's a common language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So it's easy to learn and it's easy to implement for the user and then easy for you to implement as the designer. Okay? So the second thing we're going to talk about is pride and craftsmanship. And for us as designers, we're used to really, really caring about the pixel and using some try and true tools for doing that. And the first is the grid. So the same grid that we use to design for page design as well as web design. We're going to use this grid to structure the pages such that they're built based on size and proportion and positive negative space and the content itself so that I have a page that is organized and structured by the content rather than having a lot of layout.
Rather than having to use lines to separate
boxes.
Content.
Yeah. Really, and it really makes the content itself shine, right? And if you look at Contoso Cookbook, just look at the structure of the app, right? It's easy to see the different sections just by the way that they're organized, the positive, negative space. You can see what's related versus what's different groups just by the space between them. These nice clean edges between the content helps me understand what's in the French group versus what's in the Chinese group.
Yep.
Right. Another tool that we're going to use is typography. So use a subset of fonts and use a subset of sizes and weights to communicate an information hierarchy within my app. And again, when we looked at the Contoso cookbook app, you can see, you know, your brain automatically sees just based on the size of the fonts that I'm looking at a featured section, a what's new section. I can see, you know, sub items within there.
Yep.
Tertiary information just based on, you know, the difference between Tom Getzinger and the fact that he reviewed the bouillabaisse.
Yep.
Right? And so it's a really, really easy trick that you can use within your application to provide that structure without having to add a whole bunch of Chrome to your app. Okay, so the next thing we want to talk about is fast and fluid. So we had talked about, you know, flow, and we talked about, you know, being in the zone within your mm-hmm. application. Being fast and fluid is all about creating that friction-free experience where users can just fall in love with your app. And one of those is designing for touch and ergonomics. So people, you know, can use the device, whether they're carrying it around or they're using a mouse and keyboard, and have a very responsive and intuitive interaction experience. Some of that's navigation, some of that's touch. We use animation to kind of communicate, like you had said, back to the user, communicate elements of the design,
yep.
Like introducing content via animation, rearranging content via animation to communicate that things are entering and exiting and mm-hmm. so on. And if you look at the demo of Contoso Cookbook, we use animation quite a bit here. So you can see here when I select a recipe and mark it as a favorite, we animate in that little ribbon to say that it's a favorite. And it just kind of communicates a little something to the user. Just like if I go ahead and accept Carrie's friend invite to be one mm-hmm. of my Contoso Cookbook friends, you can see that we animate in the next element to kind yep. of communicate to them that, yeah, you've taken
something
care of that
changed.
Item and something has changed, yep. right? Rather than just having it just flash and splash, right?
Yep.
So next principle is authentically digital. And this is all about really being in love with the pixel and thinking about what do we have available to us in software to really create some unique experiences. One is moving beyond physical metaphors. And if you look at, as an example, semantic zoom, and I've done this a couple of times, both in the Windows yep. start screen and then with a Contoso cookbook, you know, rather than just providing a zoom in and a zoom out, we can actually do some really cool things like change the context of the information to provide either a different use state for the user or to communicate something about the data. So if I had, you know, a library application and I wanted to provide in semantic zoom, not only the ability to zoom it out and provide to the user a high-level view of all the different categories within my library, but I can also show information here, like the mm-hmm. books by popularity. Another thing that we talk about quite a bit is this concept of really being focused and clear with the pixels that we have, using very, very vibrant colors and using very simple and easily digestible iconography and glyphs.
Yeah.
And there was a time where using, you know, icons that were super representative and looked super realistic was helpful.
And related to something that was sitting perhaps on your desk in your
yeah,
office.
Yeah, in the physical world. But we're kind of beyond that now. We all carry devices with us every single day. We all have a phone with us. We all have a slate with us. So really what we wanted to do in Windows 8 was to be very, very clear and purposeful and not only provide icons that were super easy to read and super easy to understand, but to give them kind of a global meaning such that you always know that the plus sign is mm-hmm. add. So you don't have to teach the user that. They can just start using the app and start, you know, adding a new item. They know what that item is going to be and where it's going to be located.
Yeah, and it takes into consideration the fact that a trash can may look different in the United States
right.
than it does in Great Britain.
Yeah, exactly.
There are definitely all of those considerations that really do make it truly global.
Right, right. Yeah, super helpful there as well. The next principle is win is one. And this is about creating an app that's not only unique and beautiful and does what it's supposed to do, but also participates in the Windows 8 experience. So, for example, creating experiences behind the charms bar. So putting search behind the search charm so users always know how to do it. Mm-hmm. They always know where it is. It gives them confidence. It creates a great experience that even if they're not in your app, they can start searching your app, just launching it from the search bar.
Yep.
as well as extensions. So participating in Windows features like being able to participate in the file picker. Rather than just picking from the file system, you can pick, you know, photos from an app, for example.
Yep.
All right. So an example of that in Contoso Cookbook, if I wanted to go into Steam Bun Bouse and I wanted to share that with my friends, you can see here that Contoso Cookbook is packaging up recipes and giving people the ability to share them via, you know, the People app, the Twitter app,
yep,
the Mail app, and so on. So here you can see that I've shared Steam Bun Bouse. I can add a little, you know, message here. I can add a message to tell my friends what I love about this recipe and so on. I can go ahead and send that off, right? And that's a really, really neat experience that I'm participating in a Windows experience just by implementing that contract.
Yep.
And users are going to be familiar with them.
They're going to expect it.
Yeah, they're going to expect it. And if you provide a great experience, they're going to have a great experience. Okay. So at a very, very high level, those are the Windows 8 design principles and some of the UX guidelines that we're going to be talking about over the course of the Jumpstart. So what do you want to think about when you're designing your first Windows 8 app? And what do you need to think about while we're going through this jumpstart? First, do more with less. So focus at being great at something and have scenarios and features that reinforce that greatness. If it doesn't, get rid of it. It's just going to be a distraction to your users. Second, content before Chrome. We have these pixels on the screen. Dedicate them to the greatness. If it's not something that enables those scenarios, either through content or controls, move it off. Put it on an app bar. Move it to the charms bar, have a transient UI available, yep, and contacts rather than always using those pixels on the screen. Next, pride and craftsmanship. Use the typography that we all know and love and that's built into Windows 8 to provide an information hierarchy. Use the grid, the same grid that we use when we design for the web or design for print, to provide a structure of the app via the content itself rather than relying on lines and boxes to group. Next, be fast and fluid. Use ergonomics and touch. Think about ergonomics and touch to provide a touch experience that works for your particular app scenario, and then an ergonomics that matches the usage scenario of the app. Am I watching a movie? Am I consuming? Am I entering information? Do I need to be typing? And so on. And then delight with motion. Use animation, just like we do in the start screen and on the live tiles and so on. Leverage that animation within your app to communicate something to your users. Next, be authentically digital. Dedicate the pixels to clarity and infographics and glyphs that are easily consumable, that make sense just at a glance. Move beyond physical metaphors. Use things like semantic zoom to provide really magical experiences to your users. Being able to zoom in and zoom out, not only to see everything all at once to ease navigation, but in that example, also providing a different context to the app. Next, win as one. Use the contracts and the extensions that are built into Windows to not only create, again, an app that's awesome, but an app that fits into the Windows 8 experience. So when people are searching, they think, oh, Contoso Cookbook is an awesome recipe app. I love it. I need a recipe for this.
Yep.
I was searching on the web. Now I'm going to search in Contoso Cookbook. And that's the design principles. And that's what you need to kind of keep in mind as we're going through the jumpstart. Again, we're going to go through all the UX guidelines that's going to help you design your app from start to finish. And those are going to be really, really good things to think about as you're designing your app. But these principles are things that you can leverage when you get to a point where it's like, hey, you know, I don't think that anyone's ever designed this experience before, so what do I do? You can fall back on those principles and use those to guide you to create that new and unique solution for that problem that you want to solve within your design.
Yeah, and I think with Windows 8, there are a lot of things to consider. There are a lot of really great elements that you want to plug into and take advantage of. And so planning early, planning right at the beginning, and understanding those things that you can plug into will help you throughout the long run of developing your app. It will make the development process much smoother. You'll essentially have a checklist that that you can go through and make sure that you've taken care of considerations like the snap view and like tiles and things like that. And so this Jumpstart will get you really prepared with that checklist to start creating a really amazing Windows 8 app.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's the principles of Windows design, and that's the first session of this Jumpstart. We're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute break, and then we'll talk about less is more. We'll talk about designing your app from concept to user scenarios to features that support those scenarios.
Yep, we'll start at the beginning.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.